Welcome to Golau, where we shed some light on politics, policy and polling in Wales and the world. Seeking to draw lessons from Wales's European past while charting its post-Brexit global future, the First Minister delivered this talk at an event organised by the Wales Governance Centre to mark Brexit Day.
Today is, as you've heard from Richard, an historic day, a very significant day, a day that will stir many, many different emotions in different parts and different people here in Wales. A period which has, as we know, been deeply divisive, dividing communities, dividing families, dividing our politics. But what I want to do today, as we stand on the threshold of leaving the European Union, is not to refight the battles of recent times. Instead, I want to focus on a broader picture: Wales in a post-Brexit Britain, and especially Wales in a post-Brexit world. I want today to be, for us, an opportunity to look forwards as well, inevitably, as looking backwards. Where do we go from here? What kind of relationship do we in Wales want with Europe beyond the European Union? And where does Wales sit in the wider world, in the changed circumstances that we face? Sometimes when I used to teach at the university, I used to say to people that the future is inherently uncertain, but sometimes the past is our best guide to it. And just for a few moments, I want to root what I'm going to say about our future relationships with part of our own history. And there is no better place to do that than the building in which we are sitting, the Pierhead, as it's universally known, completed in 1897 for the Bute Dock Company, a period in which the Welsh economy was at the epicentre of the global economy. This very building, the place where captains from ships from all around the world and ships leaving from Cardiff to the rest of the world, every one of them came into this building to register their ship and their cargo, and they did it in 1913 when Cardiff was the busiest port in the whole of the world. A world in which goods came and goods left as part of global trade. A world where people came to Wales to work and make a life, and where people from Wales left for other parts of the world, interconnected and interdependent. Now, Wales and the world have changed in many ways beyond recognition since this building was put here in the centre of this port. But interconnection and interdependency has surely only increased. The exchange of goods, services, trade and people is part of who we are. It is part of how we work together, and it is how the world works. Now, after a period of decline and neglect, it's fantastic that this building has been brought back to life by devolution here in Wales. That as part of the Senedd's estate, it now provides a space for citizens to come together, to deliberate on the issues we face, and so for all those reasons, no better place to think and talk about Wales and our future in Europe and the whole of the world. And I just want to say at the outset as well that everything we are talking about today, of course, is more than simply trade. All those relationships, those economic relationships, are social, cultural, and personal relationships as well. It's about how we share this tiny corner of the world. Because Wales remains a proudly European nation, and leaving the European Union doesn't change that simple fact. Dublin, now our closest European Union capital, is closer to Cardiff than Cardiff is to Newcastle. Brussels is closer to Cardiff than we are close to Edinburgh. The facts of geography and the obligations of neighbourliness remain unchanged. And our history as a European nation goes back far further than just this building. When Julius Caesar landed in Deal in Kent, the people he met and spoke to were speaking a language which is a predecessor of the language which we speak every day in Wales today. Cardiff Castle, just down the road from here, was first built by the Romans. They stayed for 400 years. They marked our language, our culture, our thought. We've been a European nation for as long as we can imagine. And the Normans came here after the Romans and left their imprint on our country too. Just behind the castle in Cardiff in Bute Park lie the foundations of a friary burned to the ground by Owen Glyndŵr at the start of the 15th century. Now, Owen Glyndŵr was a Welsh leader connected, as were other Welsh indigenous leaders of that time, absolutely connected to the mainstream of European diplomacy. At the village of Pennal, near where his parliament met in Machynlleth, he wrote, and he wrote in Latin, of course, a letter to the King of France proposing an alliance. Welsh princes spoke Welsh and French, but spoke no English. The Pennal letter was delivered to Paris by what we would now call a civil servant, but in those days was a cleric named Griffith Young. And that letter can still be seen in the National Archive, but it's in the French National Archive in Paris, not in the National Archive here in Wales. And that long history continues throughout everything we know about Wales. The Cymru Fydd movement in the 19th century, directly influenced by events in Ireland, but European in its sense of identity and its idea of a Welsh future. The Welsh League of Nations movement immediately after the First World War, that remarkable story, the Welsh Women's Peace Appeal to America in the early 1920s, a petition signed by 390,000 Welsh women, 30% of the whole female population of Wales, who signed a letter to women in America appealing for the League of Nations. Welsh women who took that petition over to America and met President Calvin Coolidge to present it to him. And that too recently discovered in a national archive. Those 390,000 signatures in a great oak chest in a national archive, not in Wales, but this time in the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. All of this is just to demonstrate that in that longer run of history, the moment that we face today is not a moment in which we are intent on breaking those links, on breaking those bonds, in breaking that great tradition. And I want to say as well that in doing so, not only does Wales look out to the world, but we welcome the world here to Wales. All those thousands of people from different parts of the globe who we have been lucky enough to attract to come here to Wales, who have made their futures here as part of Welsh communities, wherever they have come from, for whatever purpose they now live, work and make their contribution here in Wales, we say to you, and we say to you today especially, We don't simply tolerate people from other parts of the world. In Wales, we celebrate the fact that you are here. We celebrate the fact that you are here, and we are grateful to you all for everything you do to increase the richness of the place that is Wales today, and that as a government here in Wales, we go on doing everything we can to make sure that you know that, you understand that message, that we provide the advice and support that you need to continue to live, to work, and to prosper here in Wales beyond the 31st of January 2019. And that sense of connectedness between Wales, the world, between the world and Wales happens at every level. Whether it is the high level of democracy and diplomacy, or whether it is the people who will be in Cardiff tomorrow from Italy to see Wales take on Italy in the opening match of the Six Nations. It's all those thousands and thousands of young people from Wales who have taken part in the Erasmus programme, one of those jewels in the crown of what membership of the European Union has brought to us in Wales, and all those thousands and thousands of students from all around the world who come to Wales every year, who have their education in our great universities, some of whom stay, some of whom who go on working here in Wales, some of whom work in the Welsh Government today, and others who go back to their homes of origin with that little piece of Wales in their hearts, that little memory of what it was to be in a place that was not just somewhere anonymous on the face of the globe, but somewhere which has an identity, a history, a culture, and a willingness to share that with people who come to spend their time with us here. All of that, that soft diplomacy, as people say, all of that is something that bolsters our reputation, our profile, our sense of being in the world at a moment when all of that is under such pressure. Now, in the Welsh Government, we are determined to go on doing everything we can to build on that into the future. We've worked hard in Brussels through the last 20 years of devolution. Wales's reputation in Brussels is still as a place that has made a contribution, that has gained from the European Union but has contributed to it as well. And we've a legacy of partnerships, networks, of that sense of Welsh identity and as an outward-facing country. We'll build on that. We're keeping our office in Brussels. And the Welsh flag, which you can see as you come out of the metro station at the top of Rond-Point Schuman in Brussels, will continue to fly there in the very heart of Europe. And our relationship with the Commission, by the way, is not over either. There are years in which the practicalities of structural fund programmes mean that we will be working closely with the European Commission. We take our responsibilities to be a full partner with the Commission very seriously, until the last penny of funding is spent and accounted for, and where we will go on working, learning, listening to those who have been part of those programmes as the lessons of them are drawn out into the future. And Brussels is only one of the places where we now have a direct Welsh presence on the continent of Europe. Over the last year, we've opened other offices in Dublin, in Paris, in Berlin, in Dusseldorf. All of those are places where Wales now has, 20 years into devolution, a direct and unique presence in those European capitals, where trade, where investment, where those great cultural opportunities are there for us in Wales, and we will sustain all that effort and intensify it too over the years to come. This year, we'll once again be using the opportunity of St David's Day as a platform to promote Wales internationally. In all the years of this Assembly term, I have had the privilege of hosting the Welsh reception in Brussels to celebrate St David's Day. It's a real day in the calendar of the European Union. Hundreds of people come to celebrate the relationships that we have built up over the years, to be with friends and to re-cement those relationships. And we will be there again this year and next year and the year after, because we are not going away, and our friends and our colleagues would expect nothing less of us. And it's not just me, of course. My colleagues will be there as well. Eluned Morgan, our Minister for International Relations, will be in London, where we have a very vital community, which we certainly won't neglect. She will be in Dublin, our nearest neighbour, and then in North America as well, in San Francisco and in Quebec. A recognition of our sense of the need to put more effort than ever before into global engagement. And with the help of our brilliant Welsh diaspora, we will be holding events at other embassies and at consulates around the world to make sure that people know and understand that Wales goes on being a global player. And we do that by reaching out to other parts of the world, and we do it, as I said earlier, by celebrating the indigenous communities we have here settled in Cardiff. On Sunday of last week, celebrating India Republic Day with a fantastic India community here in Cardiff at the India Centre. On Wednesday of this week, the Chinese New Year celebrations here in the Senedd, bringing together from across the whole of South Wales, those Chinese individuals who are settled here in Wales, making their livelihoods, adding to the richness of our culture. Wales's front door is wedged open, and wedged open it will continue to be. In the last few months, we've received ambassadors from Finland, Norway, Serbia, and the Netherlands. The Italian ambassador is here tomorrow. The German ambassador is here a few days after that. We work hard with our network of honorary consuls here in Wales to draw those people here to Wales, to come to the Welsh Government, to come to this magnificent civic centre. But while they are here, to meet businesses, to go to universities, to meet people from their parts of the world, to tell them about what Wales is all about. And when we do it, when we act in that way, in that open, welcoming, engaged way, then new opportunities come our way as well. When the Finnish ambassador was here just a few weeks ago, an invitation follows for Wales to be part of a conference on social security and poverty policy. And we know, because we've learned so much already from Finland and other Scandinavian countries, that there are things that we can apply here in Wales from paths that others have trod before us. That's what I mean by keeping the door open and what you get when you talk and talk purposefully with your neighbours. I wanted this morning to say something particular about Ireland, our closest European neighbour, and now a neighbour where the maritime border in the Irish Sea takes on a different character. Now, those links are vital in both directions. A vast amount of freight and trade passes through Welsh ports, along our roads, and onwards into Europe. And that will need to keep on moving, whatever the future brings. Our language and our cultural agendas are so clearly linked. Just before Christmas, I met again with the Taoiseach in Dublin, and we discussed Welsh-Irish collaboration, Around the Business agenda, the Wales-Ireland Interreg programme, a 20-year programme in which so much has been invested, and where we want to ensure that that is a priority for the next phase of negotiations with the European Union. We've worked hard to build up our relationship with Ireland at the governmental level. We maintained contact and made the best of the opportunities that came our way during those lean years that followed the banking crisis. And that investment we made is paying dividends today, both in the office which we have in Dublin, but as you know, by the reciprocal arrangements that the Irish government has now introduced, a consulate here in Wales again, an excellent consul in Denise Hanrahan, and an opportunity to establish and re-establish that great network of collaboration across Wales and across the Irish Sea. Our relationship has never been stronger. We are the gateway to the European Union in our border with the Republic of Ireland, and we are determined that that will be a gateway that stays open and fruitful. Some of this is captured, as some of you will know, in our international strategy. And as someone who has been around in devolution for so long, if you'd said to those of us there in the year 1999, that 20 years later, Wales would have an international strategy, I think they would have thought you were talking well above your station in life. But 20 years later, we certainly do. And ELINED launched it on the 14th of February. It emphasises the continuity of our central relationships with Europe, with those networks that we are in, the Committee of the Regions, the Conference of Maritime Regions, the Vanguard Initiative, a really important and influential EU regional network focusing on innovation and economic development. As we leave the European Union, I am so pleased that Wales has now been elected as chair of that European Vanguard Initiative, demonstrating the confidence that our colleagues in other parts of Europe have in our continued determination to work with them, demonstrating our commitment, but also the receptivity that we have built up with our European partners. And the Vanguard Initiative is a multilateral initiative based on the bilateral relationships that we have built up with key regions across the European Union. Flanders, the Basque Country, Brittany, and others. We will invest over the years to come in deepening and strengthening Wales as a sub-national player in those networks and with those other parts of Europe where our identities are so closely linked. You'll see that in the Six Nations as it unfolds over the weeks to come. And soft power in culture, in sport, is part of all of that as well. I was privileged to go to Japan during the Rugby World Cup. Wales's impact in Japan during the tournament was absolutely extraordinary. The Japanese people took Wales to their heart in a way that marked us out entirely from the other participants in that event. And that was partly because of the work that the Welsh Rugby Union and the Welsh team did while they were there. But it's also because of the depth of relationships we already have in that part of the world. I am wearing today a tie that was presented to me while I was in Japan. This is a tie of the Club Hiraeth. And the Club Hiraeth is a club of Japanese people who have worked in Wales over the last 50 years. And they come and they spend time in Wales in the great Japanese companies who have invested in Wales. And when they return to Japan, they meet. And they meet regularly to share their memories of being in Wales, to think back, as they said to me, with pride and with a sense of privilege of having had the chance to be here in Wales. And all of that, I think, was to be seen in that rugby tournament as we used that opportunity to cement those relationships for the future. Whether it was speaking at a tourism conference when the major tourist organisations of Japan said to me that Wales is an easy place to sell to people to come to because people think they are coming to somewhere special in the world. Whether it was running out of Wrexham Lager during the Australian game, whether it was going to Oita and seeing the station there festooned in Welsh club flags and memorabilia, or whether it was that strange experience of standing in the very middle of Tokyo one night, right next door to the busiest railway station in the world, and speaking in Welsh with the Japanese tutor in the University of Tokyo and six of his students, all of whom are learning Welsh as part of their Celtic Studies degree in the university. Being in Japan reminded me that those people who try to attempt the UK into a false choice between Europe and the rest of the world are doing exactly that, suggesting a choice to us that is really no choice at all. Of course, Europe is our anchor trade partner. Of course, culturally, it is closest to us. But it's never been and never needs to be a case of either or. In 2018, the United States was Wales's third largest trading partner, just behind Japan. We export a great deal to America from Wales, and of course, we want to do more in the future. Our businesses make very successful forays into export markets in the Middle East, the Far East, and in Japan. As I said at the start, Wales has a voice in the world. We should use it, we will use it. And we use it because, as well as trade, we are a country that relates to the rest of the world because of our values. My immediate predecessor in the Cardiff West constituency, my great friend Rodri Morgan, signed the Gauteng Declaration, the first regional level international response to climate change. He did that in the Earth Summit in South Africa, and he did it in the very first assembly term. We were interested in climate change and what we could do as a global player at the very start of devolution, as well as a determination to do it today. My immediate predecessor, Carwyn Jones, spoke at the United Nations as recently as 2018, talking about our future generations legislation here in Wales, legislation that has struck a chord and caused interest in countries around the globe. And our interest in that global stage goes from the United Nations to the tree planting scheme in Uganda. A grounded experience run by very local individuals, led by some young people with a determination to make a difference to climate change. How many people in Wales know that in October last year we planted the 10 millionth tree that Wales has planted in Uganda as part of that fantastic global participation? Now, I'm not going to dwell in the time I have left on the ins and outs of Welsh participation in the next phase of European negotiations. The JMC on European negotiations met in Cardiff last week. The talks are not easy, and they need to make more rapid progress. Leaving the European Union today is only a first step. that transition period we are about to enter into will bring about very little visible change to Welsh citizens. It's like an airlock or a holding pen. Brexit may have happened, but we're yet to step out into that new world. And while Brexit may be done in that narrow sense, the impact of Brexit, the form of Brexit, is with us for years to come. And the next 12 months, there will be major decisions at stake, major decisions over our trading relationships with the European Union, major decisions about the length of a transition period, major decisions about the influence and the inclusion of devolved administrations in all of that shaping of our future. What I want to say this morning is simply this, that here in Wales and in the Welsh Government, we will not be hoodwinked by any simplistic assertion that Brexit is now over and done. We will not be browbeaten by the assertion that the decision to leave the European Union is a decision that brings an end to debate or to discussion. And we will not simply be bored into submission by the reality that Brexit is with us, not just for today, but for years and years to come. As we leave the European Union, I continue to believe in a strong Wales as part of a strengthened United Kingdom. The United Kingdom as a voluntary association of nations working together in our common interests. But leaving the European Union brings stresses and strains in the United Kingdom as well. And the Welsh Government will be there, as we have been over recent years, leading the call for serious attention to be given to the way in which this United Kingdom is to operate together in the aftermath of our membership of the European Union. So, tonight we leave the European Union. Whatever the different feelings we have in our hearts, we do so here in Wales with our heads held high. Citizens of Wales, but also citizens of the world, confident in our history and our identity, taught by both to be open and welcoming to others, enriched by our contact with them, however that may happen, conscious of the responsibility we shoulder now to work harder than ever to remake that great tradition as we face the future. Wales remains a European nation. We are citizens of the world as well as of Wales, and after 11 o'clock today, all of that will be not less, but more important than ever. Diolch yn fawr, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for listening to Golai, a Cardiff University podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please like and subscribe on your podcast player of choice. Or you can catch up with all of our episodes going back to the dawn of Brexit on our SoundCloud channel.